Saints of God. I'm Reverend Sheila Crawford of Shofar Ministries. Welcome to the news portion of our program, which I know isn't always pleasant, unless, of course, you are looking at it through your spiritual eyes, where often the political side of things helps one to connect those dots so that you can better understand why such precarious situations are happening as they are today. So look up and stay excited, because for those of us who personally know Jesus the Christ, we'll be escaping the soon coming judgment, as foretold by God himself. So stay in the Word, evangelize, and stay happy, and let no man steal your joy of salvation. Well, obviously, the international community did not listen to the Prime Minister of Israel's warning at the UN Assembly about Iran's new wolf in sheep's clothing, President Rouhani. For Britain, without waiting for any Iranian concessions on its nuclear program, has already said they would reopen its embassies in Tehran. Of course, the UK also said that the Iranian president must follow through on his positive words with concrete actions. Oh, yeah, he's going to do that for sure. Oh, well, it would not surprise me if Obama falls for Rouhani's lies as well and lifts some of the sanctions as a good gesture before we see any real actions materialize. Which makes me think, if Israel is going to do anything to stop Iran's advancement, they had better strike soon before Obama proclaims any kind of agreement with Iran. You know what I mean? Meanwhile, Israel's own peace negotiations are not going too well as random acts of violence continue. Okay, so our government is still partially shut down, and Obama is blaming the Republicans as expected. But what is really sad is that he is purposely trying to punish the American people by closing things that have never been closed before in other shutdowns, as evidenced by the World War II memorial being closed to the veterans, even though it is privately owned. And here's the hoot. Of course it's okay to be open today for an immigration rally for amnesty. Oh, yeah, it's sponsored by the leftist group SEIU, a George Soros Foundation. Oh, and one more thing. You were not able to enter the grounds unless you were a supporter of giving illegal aliens amnesty. You know, I just wouldn't believe it if I wasn't here to see it. This is all so amazing to watch all this corruption going on right before our very eyes. The Obama administration has been issuing orders to their public workers to make the lives of every American as difficult as possible. It's true. It was told by an angry Park Service Ranger in Washington who spoke out against what he called disgusting tactics. He said, and I quote, "We've been told to make life as difficult for people as we can." And even worse, some 60 families, many elderly, in Lake Mead, Nevada, were given 24 hours to vacate their privately owned home because it sits on federal land. Seriously. Again, that has never happened before in any other government shutdown. It's Chicago tactics. The House has tried to get some things reopened with carefully targeted and funded legislation, but Obama and Harry Reid refused to budge, saying they will not do it by piecemeal and they will not be threatened or bribed. It seems to me Obama doesn't understand how it works. You know, both parties are supposed to sit down and hash it out. Give a little here, take a little there. But Obama says no to any compromising to a health bill that he himself has changed 19 times. So it's not the same bill Republicans signed 2 years ago, like all the exemptions to big corporations and to unions and even Congress. Anyway, we've got some bigger fish to fry with the upcoming debt ceiling, which, by the way, as long as the shutdown continues, I am told that Obama won't be able to use a certain loophole in the 14th Amendment, which, under the right circumstances, he could. And he could bypass Congress, and he could keep spending money. So maybe if the government stays shut down, it might be a good thing, because apparently he could not use this loophole. Anyway, for more information on that, you can check out dickmorris.com. And one last thing, pray for the truckers for the Constitution rally this weekend, that it remain a peaceful demonstration. Well, those are just a few of my thoughts, and I always welcome yours. Email me at Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. And if you are not on my send list and would like to receive the newsletter that went out yesterday, send me an email requesting your name be added. And praise the Lord, we made our September payment thanks to you and last week's Friday night crew. Much thanks to those of you that partnered with us, because it really is you that keeps this program on the air. Please pray for this end time ministry and ask the Lord what you can do. He will bless you for sure. Now, don't move that mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Shalom, Chavarim. That means friends. And thanks for tuning in to the live Shofar Ministries Hour, 1220 a.m. Christian Radio, or on the World Wide Web, whkwradio.com. This is John Bartlett, your co-host, along with our teacher and minister of God's Word, Sheila Crawford. The phone lines are open for your end-time questions or comments. 888-677-WORD. Before we start tonight, let's pray. Abba, we continue to pray for the urgent financial needs of this program. And please, lay it on the hearts of our listeners to respond to this necessary request. We really can't do it alone. We need you. And we thank you again, Abba, as we always do, for the opportunity to proclaim your truth, your word, your sovereignty over the airwaves here on Christian Radio AM 1220 to those whom you love and have called according to your purpose. May we never forget the miracles of your mercy that are associated with this ministry that have happened and they'll continue to happen. We're grateful to you for our lives and the situations you allow in our lives that cause us to grow in faith. We pray for the spiritual and financial welfare of all our listeners and their families. And we thank you in advance for answering the prayers of those who have contacted us in the last few weeks. So please, Lord, be with us tonight. Anoint our lips with your Holy Spirit power. Open ears to receive what you wish to impart to our listeners. I just believe there's someone listening tonight for the first time. And I just ask for you to do that to them, to open their ears to what you have to say. Bless them, heal their infirmities in your great mercy. We love you and we bless you. In the name of Yeshua, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. And shalom to all of you tonight as we continue in the Word of God. You know, Isaiah 26, and we're in part two now, is a very unique chapter. And as I said last week, it really is full of surprises. And seldom taught in context, especially verse by verse, but it's a wonderful chapter. And of course, this is what I love to do, teach verse by verse, and I pray that it's what you like to do as well.
And it does keep a person sanctified and dwelling in the Holy of Holies.
Yes,
24/7 if you want it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. The water of the word is that laver in the temple, you know, that big wash basin,
mm-hmm.
just before entering the holy place, which they could not go in to pray or do any of the incense unless they're washed first.
Oh, that's a great typology.
Yeah, we've been over that a few times. It is a great typology.
Wonderful picture. And before we get into Isaiah 26 and we really get deep into this again, we need a short recap, I think, of the first 10 verses that we covered last week. Can we do that?
Well, you know, I anticipated that you might say that. And I am ready to go.
Well, I'm glad.
All right. Last week, chapter 26, we begin by declaring how we got our protection and our salvation. And in Hebrew, of course, it's pronounced Yeshua. That is the word for salvation. Isn't that awesome?
That is.
And it went on to say that we will sing joyfully about it in that day, which we explained is a Jewish idiom describing the last 1,000 years of history.
Which is right around the corner.
I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
Then we see another Jewish idiom used that in that day or that thousand-year period begins with the gates of heaven open. And that is an idiom for the resurrection. And it's to welcome in the righteous believers, both dead and still alive, at this event. Again, the resurrection / rapture.
That's what we call it.
That's right. Now, I have learned and now teach that about a week later after this resurrection, the tribulation begins with the signing of a 7-year peace treaty with Israel that Daniel 9:27 talks about. Now, during the tribulation, God brings down the prideful and the lofty ones. We read about that last week. Then we finished last week with a great revelation that God will actually pour out grace and mercy in a bigger way. That was just wonderful to hear. To those that were left behind, the Yashab, but not of the wicked. Even though he will pour out his grace and mercy, the wicked will refuse to learn righteousness. Isn't that sad?
Yeah, they just won't do it.
They won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
We have an example of that also, or confirmation, in the book of Revelation, in both the trumpet and the bowl judgments, where it says they could have repented, but instead blasphemed the God of heaven and did not repent of their deeds. And that's Revelation 9:21 and 16, verse 9. And I always couldn't understand how they could even do that, but now I do.
Now we do. And I think what you're implying is that from verses 9 and 10 and Psalm 58:3, that there are those who just might have the wicked seed that has been passed down since the days of the Nephilim.
It certainly appears that way. And let me just add one more thing here. I have tried to come to other explanations, but the dots just don't seem to connect, at least not all of them. And believe me, there are some good Bible teachers that do not agree with me. And that's okay, for it really doesn't affect the gospel.
That's true. So it's fine if you don't want to take that view. Personally, it's my view that they're the walking dead, or I call them zombies. So.
Yeah, I know you do. But again, it wasn't always my view. I've done my homework. I've done my study. I've connected the dots. And what we've been saying over the last almost a month now just makes it work.
And, you know, on our website, shofarministries.net, you can check out the past programs.
Absolutely.
We've had on the Nephilim and the Rephaim. Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I would not blame you out there if you don't want to agree with me. You don't have to, really.
It's not required.
No. But one thing you can't deny, and that is who our enemy is.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians 6 is clear. So don't get hung up on the origin. Just keep his armor on you. Because we are going to see even more evil in the months ahead before that trumpet finally does sound. But there will be a great revival of tribulation saints as soon as the bride is taken. We saw that last week. And a few have even told me they've had dreams of a great revival coming. And I'm praying that as well. And we'll probably still see pockets of revival all over the world prior to it as these signs become more evident. I think more will be getting saved. But the bulk, I believe, will be during the tribulation, and I believe it'll be immediately, like maybe even before that signing, because there's going to be that little interim there, you know. Because Isaiah 26:9 does say that the inhabitants, which means the remaining, because the word is Ishab, that most will get it. But the wicked will not, and that word for wicked is Rasha. And that's why it's important to study, because there's different words for wicked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the scripture that says the heart is inherently wicked, that's a different word.
Right.
Yeah, there's
a different word.
Yeah, the Rasha, that could mean the wicked seed.
Mm-hmm.
It could.
Yes, and it could be someone that acts wickedly as well.
Rasha?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's continue on with our study in verse 11 now, which confirms, but in different words, about these wicked. So, John, if you don't mind, could you read verses, just do 11, 12, and 13?
Okay, now this is from the
Masoretic text, the original.
So if you're following at home or wherever you are with the Bible and you have your notepad out
there,
it
won't match.
It's not going to match, okay?
But I just want people to see that we are able to do that. They can actually go.
We can go to the...
as original as we can. And this is what matched the text that came out of the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Exactly. Now, when I say Jehovah in this text, I'm just going to tell you, it's the four-letter tetragrammaton.
Mm-hmm.
It's Yud, He, Vav, He in Hebrew, and that is the name of God. And that's used to substitute, I guess.
Well, I like Yahweh better, even.
You like that?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes
but
I can't. I'll read it as Jehovah. It says,
I just don't like to be associated with Jehovah's Witnesses or anything,
oh,
you know.
Oh, I don't think that's a... That shouldn't be
no,
too much
I
of
guess
an
not.
Issue. Okay. Well, anyway, verse 11, Isaiah 26. Yeah, I've got to tell you this, too. You know, the numerology in Gematria is so important in a lot of Bible studies, and you find that things, miracles in numbers happen in the original text. Well, the number 26, I know it's a chapter division, but that's the same number of this name. That's the Gematria of the Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey, is 26.
Yeah.
And we're in chapter 26.
Is that a coincidence?
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
Don't think so.
All right.
Okay, verse 11. Jehovah, your hand is high. They do not see. They see and are ashamed of the zeal of the people. Yea, the fire of your foes devours them. Jehovah, you will ordain peace for us. For also you have worked all our works for us. Jehovah our God, masters beside you have governed us. Only in you we will mention your name.
Okay. Well, that's easy to explain.
Well, that has a lot of questions. We want to know who they are and everything, but you have a different...
Yeah, well, let's talk about verse 11 first.
Okay.
Through the New King James, Lord, when your hand is lifted up. Well, right away, that is always a term for judgment. So we're talking about the tribulation. Okay?
Okay.
So when your hand is lifted up, they will not see. There is a group of people that even though judgment is there, they're still not going to see.
Wow.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But eventually they will see and be ashamed for their envy of people. Yes, the fire of your enemies shall devour them. Again, the hand is lifted up as the term for judgment. Still, they don't repent, but when he returns to the earth at the end of the seven-year judgment, they will see, but it's too late and be ashamed and be devoured.
Mm.
And then verse 12 says in the New King James, Lord, you will establish peace for us, for you have also done all our works for us. And he does it all. It's all about him.
That Ephesians 2:10 confirms this, actually.
That's right. We are nothing in and of ourselves. We really aren't.
Right.
And that's all that's saying. Verse 13, O Lord our God, masters beside you have dominated over us. But by you only we will mention of your name. So it's basically saying at one time before our salvation, we've all had different loyalties, different dominions over us.
Mm-hmm.
But now we only use his name.
Wow. Now that seems pretty clear there. Okay.
Right.
So are we still in that day? In this verse? Are we in that day? Okay.
I think so.
Okay, that's cool.
Well, it can mean either, actually. As long as you're saved, you're under different, you're not under those other loyalties anymore.
So I see this big judgment is going to get people thinking differently.
Well, it's true. That's true. I would say so. And
again,
we mentioned that last week. Once the tribulation begins, a whole new ballgame.
Whole new ballgame.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You talk about your revivals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it has to be huge because John couldn't even count them.
Yeah, so who were these? He asked.
Revelation 7.
Could not count. These are those that came from.
And he could count because he just counted 144,000.
So you know John could count, but he couldn't. He could count up to 144,000, but these were beyond numbering.
That's right. So, that's just so encouraging, especially now because we pray for our loved ones so much constantly and that. And, yeah, we do want them to all be part of the bride. I mean, that's the easier way to go.
Right.
But at least there's hope that they'll be in the kingdom.
That's right.
You know, especially if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing and telling many people, as many as we can, what's going to happen, then they're going to remember that.
Yeah, they will.
And besides that, they're going to have extra grace and favor. So these are good times for that.
Well,
it keeps us happy.
Where iniquity abounds, it says so much more grace.
That's right.
So
Good point. Okay, let's just read 14 and 15, and then after that we'll probably take a break.
Okay. In the Masoretic text. Oh, I have to turn the page here. Dead ones do not live. Departed spirits do not rise. Because of this, you visited and destroyed them, and caused all memory of them to perish. You have added to the nation, Yahweh. You have added to the nation. You are glorified. You have extended all the ends of the land.
Right, and of course, it's talking during the millennial kingdom what he's going to do, but it starts out by explaining. First of all, you've got to remember the context is the resurrection. That's what started in the very beginning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the Rephaim are not part of it because it says here they are dead, and that's physical death. They will not live in the resurrection. They are deceased. Well, lo and behold, I've read that for years. And until I looked up the word deceased, I didn't even have any idea it was talking about the Rephaim, but that's what the word is. It's
right.
Number 7496, Rephaim, and it means the descendants of the Nephilim. So basically, they're not going to be part of the resurrection, which makes total sense to me.
Sure does to me,
you
too.
You know, they just will not rise.
Mm-hmm.
So he's making a difference here, because when we get to 19, he's going to be talking about his righteous.
Uh-huh.
But this is the wicked.
Mm.
Okay, this is the Rephaim, the descendants of the Nephilim. They're
so these aren't These aren't the dearly departed.
No.
There's nothing dear about them. These are the unredeemable wicked.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to even say, therefore you have punished and destroyed them. They're going to be totally destroyed and made their memory even to perish. So during the millennial kingdom, we won't even remember them because we're not going to remember anything that's bad.
And of course, they're alive today. How do we know, you know, who they are? And should we even try to make that distinction?
Well, if you're talking about the wicked, it is very hard to know because at one time they were giants, and through the years that they have come down to, you know,
our size. Probably.
Yeah. So it's hard to say. All I know is that they're out there. When I read the news and I see, like that one guy that just got up on a Monday morning and decided to eat somebody's face, and he was not on drugs. They found out after. You know that the wicked are out there.
How about the shooter in the Colorado theater about
so
a year
many.
Ago?
There's so many.
You could give example after.
Oh, yeah.
Of that.
And again, you could blame it on just demonic spirits, and we can get delivered from that, and that's true.
But how do we know? Shouldn't we just pray for everybody and witness
to
everybody
That's right.
Okay.
Amen to that. Oh. And again, it's a hot topic and causes division, and I certainly don't want to do that. The main thing is we've got wickedness out there,
yeah.
And you better recognize it, pray against it, keep your armor on, and know how to get rid of it if you're confronted, and that's by in the name of Jesus.
Very good.
Pretty simple stuff.
I like that answer.
That's right. So he goes on and talks about the millennial kingdom and where the land is going to be extended, of course, and that just makes total sense to
me. Well, that's Psalm 83, where are you?
Yeah, we keep singing that. All right, you know what? I want to do a quick song because we have a song by Selah, which I absolutely love, and it starts out slow, and then it goes into something a little quicker than we're normally used to hearing.
Okay, so if we do that,
yes,
then we'll be right back after that, won't we?
That's right, and we're going to finish tonight, so.
Oh, good.
There you go.
Okay, so stay with us.
Stay with us. Don't turn.
I am weak, I am worn.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That great song was Just a Closer Walk with Thee by Cella.
A little sped up.
You do a good job with that.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a question for Sheila? Or if you would like her to speak at your church or group, all you do is email her at sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the office, 440-834-9006. And leave a detailed message. That's always important. And now, speaking of important, you have something important you want to say, Sheila, and I think you should say it.
Oh, okay. I do want to, as I said last week, remind you that your donations, especially right now, are very vital to keeping this program on the air. Most of you know we don't petition funding unless we really need to. But now is that time. Airtime is costly and donations are extremely low. So if you are getting blessed by this program and maybe learning, please consider being a sponsor of any gift or perhaps a monthly pledge.
And if you're a first-time listener tonight, we don't need your money. Please don't. You know, just we have a group that follows us and that has been very loyal to us for many years. And we're just calling on you guys out there. And we know you can do it. Help us get through this little rough time and we'll be fine. And don't forget, we can always do your advertising for you because we make great commercials. Sheila and I have some. I even saved them. They're so good. And we can do a great ad for you and we'll talk up your business. And that'll help keep us on the air.
Amen.
So just send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And there's a little Partner With Us button on our homepage of our website. Just go there, and all donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter. So include your address, either email or house address. Okay?
Or you can even pledge tonight by calling 888-677-WORD, 888-677-WORD, and give Derek your information.
Did you say 888-677-WORD?
Yeah, 888-677-WORD.
Just wanted to make sure. And you want to make sure to check us out on the webpage. All our newsletters and previous radio shows are archived, and you may order recorded teachings there as well. And again, the phone lines are open.
Should we say that number one more time?
Okay, I'll say it one more time. 888-677-WORD. That's 9673 at the end. The Shofar Ministries Hour is live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Why not recommend this program to a friend? Also, if you live in the Cleveland area, mark your calendars for every Friday and this Friday, August 2nd.
But not every Friday.
Every first Friday of the month. Every first Friday of the month, August 2nd,
there
will be
go.
The next one. That's coming up. And we'll be at Chester Christian Center, and that's in Chesterland, Ohio. And that's at 11815 Chillicothe Road. That's Route 306. It's close to 271. It's close to 90. And there are hotels available. And that starts at 7 p.m. on Friday.
Great.
So let's continue with Isaiah 26.
Yes, can you please read verses 16, 17, 18 out of the Masoretic?
I would be honored to. Okay, verse 16. Okay, I'm so sorry. Jehovah, they visited you in distress. They poured out a whisper. Your chastening was to them. As a pregnant woman draws near to bear, she writhes and cries out in her pangs. So are we before you, Jehovah. We conceived, we writhed, as it were, we gave birth to wind. We have not worked salvation for the earth, and the world's inhabitants have not fallen.
That's right.
That's cryptic. You want to explain that a little bit?
Well, starting out with Lord in trouble, they have visited you. They poured out a prayer when your chastening was upon them. Basically, this is the average person today. Sometimes they call themselves Christians, but they really don't have a heart conviction.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're in trouble because they're being chastised or something, they will say a prayer, like a whisper, not, you know, it's just like an average type person. And I believe 16, 17, and 18 is talking about tribulation states.
That makes perfect sense to me.
You know, like that.
We do call out in distress. I know that before people are saved, they do that.
They do, yeah. And that's what I think this is getting into here. You remember the verse in Matthew 7?
Oh, he says, oh, many in that day many will come calling me Lord, Lord, and I'll say, I never knew you.
Yeah, that's this here. So it ends up that they're not going in the rapture.
Okay,
so they're going to end up in the tribulation. And then they go on and they realize in verse 17 that they are in the tribulation because they're using the phrase as a woman with child, and that's exactly the same phrase that Jesus used as a woman in childbirth.
Or in labor.
With the pangs, the birth pangs.
Birth pangs.
That's
mm-hmm.
the tribulation period. So they realize they're in the tribulation period as a woman with child is in pain and cries out in her pangs. While she draws near the time of her delivery, so they're in the tribulation, they're waiting for the end, these are the ones that are still alive, and they're just saying, where are you? basically, O Lord, you know, because it goes on. So have we been in your sight, O Lord. So they're there. They're waiting for their delivery of the Messiah to return. And it goes on and says, they're pleading with the Lord. We have been with child. We have been in pain. So they're pregnant. They're in pain. They're in the tribulation period. But nothing has happened yet. And basically, we have not accomplished any deliverance in the earth. So they haven't seen anything yet. And they're wondering, where are you?
Sort of so like, they're going, where are you, God?
Exactly. Sort of like the martyred saints under the altar. They're crying out, how long, O Lord? Everybody's waiting for the final thing to occur. And it goes on and says, we have not accomplished any deliverance in the earth, nor have the inhabitants of the world fallen. And that inhabitants is Yeshab again. It's the ones that are left over after the rapture. And in this particular one, it's the ones that won't get saved, and they haven't been gone yet. They're still there. They haven't fallen yet.
These are the left behind?
Yes.
Okay.
Not the ones that get saved, the other ones.
The other ones, okay.
And they haven't fallen yet. And so 16, 17, 18 is the tribulation saints kind of declaring this, crying out, where are you? We're in tribulation. Even the fallen, the unrighteous haven't fallen yet. And that's what they're doing. They're pleading.
Okay, and they realize where they are. They realize what time
period they're
in. At
this point, they do, exactly. Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. So I think that's what that says. And then we get into verse 19, and I'm just going to have you read verse 19.
Okay. Your dead ones shall live, my dead body, they shall rise up. Awake and sing, dust dwellers, for the dew of lights is your dew, and the earth shall cast out departed spirits.
This is one of my favorite verses, actually, because now we're talking about the righteous dead. We're talking about God's righteous dead, your dead. Versus the other dead Rephaim, you know, the departed spirits that won't rise in the resurrection. This is different. Now he's Isaiah's referring to the righteous dead shall live together with my dead body. They shall arise. Now this dispels any contradiction about the Old Testament saints having a different resurrection from the New Testament saints. According to Isaiah, the righteous dead rise at the same time the Old Testament believers as well, because they believed that God would send a Redeemer. That was how they got saved in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
The New Testament, we believe he did send it. So there's the righteous. All right?
Wow.
So he's basically saying, your righteous will live together with me, awake and sing. This is an expression, an idiom for the resurrection. Awake, sing, you who dwell in the dust. And that dust, of course, is more of the where you bury someone. It's more in the surface of the earth. It's not in the deep earth.
Okay.
In fact, the word is, let me tell you what the word is.
Afar.
Afar, thank you. So that's more of the surface. You know, the deeper earth would be Eretz, which we will see here in a minute as well.
I agree.
Okay, so this is the resurrection of the righteous, and it goes on and says, for your due, and that word for due actually can also mean light, and it's like the light that is given to flowers or herbs that bloom, okay? So your due or your light is like the due of herbs. Basically, it gives life. So those that are dead, the righteous, will be given new life in new bodies, like a flower that blooms.
And the light causing the flowers to bloom.
Right.
And the light being?
Well,
our
God.
Lord. God.
Sure.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
I got to say, this would be very, very cryptic and hard to understand if it were not for your explanation of it. And I see that all you're doing is you're going back to the original language
deciphering it.
And deciphering it. And it's very, very interesting. Now this is, you know, usually...
Well, and then let me just finish in verse 19. He closes out the fact that, hey, don't worry, even the Rapha, which is what the word for dead is, are going to be getting rid of and destroyed. That's what that means.
Is that what that means?
And that word for earth is Eretz, which means that's way
down. Okay. And departed spirits is actually what?
That's Rapha.
That's the Rephaim?
Yeah.
Okay.
They'll be destroyed. Yeah. At some point. It doesn't say when, but it will happen.
Oh, wow. In this context, this thing really comes alive.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And certainly during the Millennial Kingdom, we won't even have memory of it, basically. But verse 20 now, this is, again, one of my favorite ones. Because verse 20, actually, it explains what's going to happen and where the righteous are going to be during the tribulation. So for those people that don't believe yet in a pre-trib rapture, this is in the Old Testament and should really help you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I'm going to have you read it first, and then I'll read it.
Okay. Come, my people, go in your rooms and shut your doors behind you. Hide for a little moment until the fury passes.
Okay. Well, basically, come, my people, into your chambers. That word for rooms or chambers is hadar.
Hmm.
And that's always been a private, like a wedding chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that awesome?
That's a good picture right
there. Yeah. So it's like we're going to go into the wedding chamber for our honeymoon. And we're going to stay there after we shut the door. That gives you more of an idea that it is a private wedding chamber.
Yeah, when you say shut the door, it does. Yes.
Yeah, and he makes it a point to say that. So
yes, he does.
Again, he wants us to see the wedding terminology being used here.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it says, hide yourself, as it were, for a little while or a little moment. Well, that happens to be 7 years, by the way. And to God, that is a moment. But then he even clarifies that by saying, until the indignation is passed. And that word for indignation is 2195, and it means fury, anger, rage, or wrath.
Hmm.
So, come, my people, that's the righteous, enter into your wedding chamber and stay there until the indignation is over.
Hmm.
And then you're going to see in the next verse, which you'll read in a minute, is what's going to happen right after that seven-year period, what's going to happen. So read that in verse 21.
Verse 21, for behold, Jehovah comes out of his place to visit his iniquity on the dweller of the earth. The earth shall also reveal her blood and shall no more cover over her slain ones.
Okay. All right. So what's going to happen at the end of this indignation down on earth? Verse 21 says, for behold, the Lord comes out of his place. Well, that's in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And what's he going to do? Revelation 19. He's going to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
That's very plain.
And they're also called the earth dwellers, right?
That's right. Those inhabitants, those are not saved by then, yes. The earth will also disclose her blood. And I always say bloodshed. Hmm. And will no more cover her slain. Do you remember in Revelation that it talks about how the seas and the oceans will be filled with blood?
Mm-hmm. Yes, remember? Turning okay. into blood, actually, I think it says, yeah.
That's right. Well, I think that really represents the martyrs through all the years, the martyrs for Christ. And I believe that no more will they ever have to see that. And I think this is what it's saying here. The earth will also disclose or reveal her blood of all the martyrs.
Hmm.
And no more will there be any slain.
That sounds very good.
You know?
Especially to those that are being martyred as we speak.
That's right. They're still being martyred.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And there's always been martyrs for Christ, actually. Mm-hmm. It really has.
Yes.
And a lot of times people will say, well, we're in the tribulation now. Look at all the martyrs. But there's always been martyrs, and that's always been for the glory of God.
Yes, it has.
The 7 years that is coming is for judgment
mm-hmm.
on the sin of unbelief in his son. That's mm-hmm. really what it's for.
Yes.
And to get people to repent.
Exactly.
And many will.
Many.
That's right.
An uncountable number.
Lots of tribulation saints, 144,000 Jews, and when the war of Gog and Magog takes place, which I think is probably around the third year
mm-hmm.
for a lot of reasons, then all the rest of Israel will be saved as well. So.
Amen to that.
Amen to that. You know, I wanted to, since we do have a minute, back up a little bit, because where it says, hide yourself, as it were, for a little while, that's just so important to me,
mm-hmm.
until the indignation is passed. And in case you don't really believe that it means his judgment or his fury or his anger or his wrath,
mm-hmm.
there is a complementing scripture in Isaiah 8:19. And if you have that, I think you might have that. Can you read, Daniel 8:19. Can you read that?
Daniel 8:19 says, And he said, Look, I am making known to you what shall happen in the latter time of the indignation. For at the appointed time, the end shall be.
There's
that little word there, isn't it?
Yeah. So there's no doubt in my mind, if you look at it clearly, there is going to be a resurrection before the indignation.
Mm.
And we will be up there while the indignation is on the earth. And then we will return in Revelation 19 with Jesus on white horses, by the way, to finish off and punish the inhabitants of the earth. Just like it says here in Isaiah 26.
And just like, I might add, the flood that occurred in Noah's day. And of course, Yeshua said that these days will be like as the days of Noah. And in this way, we being taken out before the judgment comes is, I think, in a way, we resemble Noah being taken out of the waters of the flood.
Yeah, judgment was underneath him, and he was above it all.
And he was above it all.
Yeah, we're going to be above it all also.
Right.
It's just that we can't stay on the earth during this time because there'll be so much radiation and that it's, you know.
And so the rapture is just, it's a picture. And it's a picture that has happened before. We have Noah, that he was taken out.
Mm-hmm.
Enoch, he was taken up.
He was. Lot, taken out.
The angels actually said, we can't do anything until you're gone.
I know. And what a great picture that is.
And he wanted to, I don't know what he wanted to do, put something in the microwave and heat it up, take a hot pocket with him or something. They said, no, they grabbed him. It says, the Bible says they grabbed him by, it doesn't say anything about hot pockets, but it says they grabbed him by the hands and actually physically let him out of there. Because they could not do anything. And we're going to have to be out of here for this judgment to occur. The church is.
And we have to.
We have to be out of there.
And we're restraining it right now.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, Thessalonians tells us that. And, you know, not this Friday, but next Friday, we will be at Chester Christian, and I will definitely be talking more about that in Thessalonians and what that lie is.
And, good.
So we'll be getting into some heavy topics. I hope that people can come out and join us.
Well, I plan on doing some nice messianic worship music,
good.
Too.
Great. Well, you always do. And we do have another minute, so let me just also mention this because I think it's kind of neat. As you get into chapter 27, that first verse is just wild.
Oh, yeah.
It says, I'll just read it in my Bible.
Mm-hmm.
In that day, of course, that's that 1,000 years that always begins in tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
In that day, the Lord with his severe sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent. Now, Leviathan is just another word for the sea monster that comes out of the sea in Revelation 13, or the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
Leviathan, that twisted serpent, and he, the Lord, will slay the reptile that is in the sea. So again, it's just, I think this first verse of 27 should be the end of Isaiah 26, personally. Because
I think you're right. It does seem to fit in there better.
That's right. Because at the end of the indignation, Jesus comes back. We're with him. He punishes the inhabitants of the earth. And then takes the Antichrist and the false prophet, throws them in the lake of fire. It's all in Revelation. Complements it tremendously.
Wow. And that does put the end of the tribulation there in perspective. So this whole chapter has been about in that day, and it's been about, you've explained it, it's the tribulation here.
Yeah, it's the resurrection, then after the tribulation, talks about the tribulation saints and how at one point they weren't really where they should have been, and so they weren't saved, you know, but once they got in the tribulation, they realized they were, and then they cry out to the Lord, how long before you come back, and then he reiterates about how the righteous are taken up, first and hidden, basically, in the wedding chamber.
Great.
Getting to know Christ very much.
Nice recap on that. That's good.
And then we return and we finish it off.
Now, please call us, 888-677-WORD, and admit that when you read that before, you didn't get that out of there, because I didn't. But you do have to do a little study to make this out.
It's important, and that's why when people tell me, you know, you don't really need to study, I think, what?
What? Yeah. Well, it's kind of nice to know that, and it's kind of a comfort to know that the tribulation will be, the purpose of it will be to get people saved.
That's right.
That you would think
in
would never
affliction.
Have gotten saved. In their affliction, they're going to get saved.
Do you remember where that was?
In
Hosea.
Hosea.
5:15, I think. Ooh. Somewhere in there.
good for that.
Okay. I'm afraid we only have a few minutes left, so go for it, John.
Okay, we have a few minutes, so let me ask you this. Is Jesus Lord over your whole life, or do you just have a head knowledge of him and really not that heart conviction? All you have to do, really, is just get on your knees right now and repent. That means confess. Agree with God that you have sin and that these sins are lingering in your life. He knows what they are. You know what they are, but they're weighing you down. Let him know that you know and you agree with him that they're sin, and commit or recommit your life to Yeshua. His very name means salvation. He's your Savior. Remember, it's always your choice to choose where you want to spend eternity, and God sends no one to hell. You decide that for yourself, where your soul goes. Because your soul doesn't die. It's eternal, and it has to go somewhere. And there's only two places. And I'll tell you what, with God, it's a lot more fun.
I say.
So you decide, make that decision right now on your knees, and we're praying that you will.
That's right, and then fulfill the Great Commission. Do what Jesus told us to do. Go and make disciples. Tell one person a day that Jesus loves them and wants them as one of his sheep, because he is the Great Shepherd.
And I pray that you made that decision tonight and you will join us.
I'd sure like to know if you did, too.
Yeah, call
us. Email me.
Email us, let us know.
Call us, whatever you need to do.
Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
That's the Aaronic blessing out of number 622 through 27, and the English says, the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And we pray that blessing upon every single one of you that are listening right now.
And till then, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper. Not maybe. That's Psalm 122:6.
That's right, and I want to remind people that we will be at the Chester Christian Center. That's 11815 Chillicothe Road in Chesterland, Ohio. That's actually Route 306. And don't forget next Tuesday at 8 o'clock. And please consider a financial gift to keep this program on the air. I would so much appreciate to be able to keep teaching you all.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford at the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.